Sports Day for Kia's open season, continuing with match-winning deals and Red Energy, a 100% Australian gas and electricity retailer.
7 minutes past six, Richo's in the house. We'll get to him shortly. Hello and welcome along to Sports Day. Well, tonight, Rugby League get live sport back underway in this country on May 28th, as promised by their new saint, St. Peter Vlandys. It's a great achievement and leads the way for everybody else to follow, mimicking their successes and learning from their mistakes. It's a win for us all, in my view, and I can't quite, for the life of me, understand the code war that's broken out. Some of the state versus state battles have been quite interesting. But that's not the only bushfire that's breaking out right now. One of them includes our own Scoot McClure, who went head-to-head with Eddie Maguire over relative principles of journalism. He joins us as always. Scoot, welcome to you.
Hello, Jared. There are bigger things at play, though. Pretty significant story brewing in the sporting world, and that is I'm of the understanding that Cricket Australia, either tomorrow or early next week, will release its Australian schedule, and it will be basically identical to that of pre-COVID-19. Still with the Big Bash, the Test matches.
Now still the World Cup.
And still the T20 World Cup. And the kicker is Cricket Australia are expecting there to be crowds. Now, there may be some shuffling around with the WBBL. I'm told it could go from 14 games down to 10. But, Jared, it remains to be seen whether this is a realistic prospect or it is simply a power play by Cricket Australia to make sure that the broadcasters cough up 100% of the money that they are owed. It's a fascinating story and one that will be watched closely by other sporting codes.
How are they going to get the teams in here?
Well, they'd have to get special dispensation from the governments.
And as has been granted over in America.
And the health authorities. And they would have to be carefully quarantined, as we're seeing with other athletes here domestically. But given that it involves international travel, there's going to be a lot of moving parts with it.
Well, anything else in the cricketing world?
Just the other thing in the cricketing world is that Peter Siddle, the Victorian great, who's been a stalwart of the Bushrangers for so many years, I'm told is going to sign a two-year deal in Tasmania worth nearly $200,000 a year. That is just for Shield cricket.
I thought there was no money in cricket.
Knocked back a pretty significant offer from Victoria.
Well, it's a big loss for Victoria because Peter Siddle has been one of our finest. Okay, you didn't want to talk about the Eddie Blue. I reckon this bloke will. Well, let's get down to basics, Richo.
It's good to be here.
That is a magnificent moustache. Congratulations.
No, you have been busy. No, it's not.
It's not good for radio, but it's got a little bit of twirl about it now.
Once I send a picture out on social media, people will know about it. That is
musketeer-ish.
I've clearly been bored, Jared. It's going to come off, obviously, when footy restarts. So I've got 2 weeks to go.
Have you been banned by Seven for wearing it?
They haven't seen it
haven't
yet.
Haven't they?
This is the first time I've left the house
have
to come into the studio.
Have you been banned by Jen at home for having it? What does she think about it, more importantly?
Yeah, she hates it.
Scoop, I've told you I've been trending on Twitter. Is there any way through Twitter technology that you can take a photo of that moustache?
Yep, I'll put it out there.
3AW is football. Yep.
3AW, well, this is going to be interesting for you, Richo, because I actually quite like it. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of moustaches, but this one suits Richo.
If anyone knows the band The Killers, who, of course, famously we're on the MCG after the Tigers won their flag in 2017. He's going for a sort of a 2005-2006 Brandon Flowers look.
I'm very bored. I'm just glad the footy's starting in 2 weeks because you hit the nail on the head with your intro there. Gee, I'm glad sport's back tonight. And I'm so sick of the bickering between NRL and AFL. Let's support each other. It's just great tonight to go home after this show and watch some live sport on TV. I can't wait.
Richo, you told me today as you walked in, did you know Scoot McClure was trending on Twitter?
He's had a big day today.
I didn't know that, but clearly he's had a big day. What's your view on it and your interpretation? Because it seems that everybody else in the footy world has had a thought about this.
Yeah, well, I can see where Sam is coming from, and I can probably – Eddie's a journalist as well, so they've both got differing views on it. Look, I was probably leaning towards – more Sam's view on it, having known the troubles that Jack has had over the last 18 months. And look, if there's something that needs to be at play here. Surely the Victoria Police would question Jack, and you know, if there was something that needed to be handled, they would be doing that. So I'm sure that the Geelong Footy Club knows what has happened as well. He's back at training. They've opened their arms up to him. So I think we just all move on now.
The big story, of course, Richo, yesterday was a game broken by Scoop McClure, and that was about Buddy Franklin, who today it was confirmed, Scoop, what you told us yesterday, it's not just a hamstring. It's a significant hamstring that probably keeps him out for the best part of 3 months.
Yeah, well, to use the words of Charlie Gardner, the head of footy there, Richo, he called it a decent hamstring.
Straight away there, I would say, is it the tendon, and does he need surgery? Because that is a long time out of the game, 10 weeks with a hamstring.
So, Richo, you suffered hammies late in your career. You talk us through the different types of hammies, because the non-medical person just sees it as a number of weeks that you miss. Yeah.
Well, you get your hamstring strains, your stock standard strains in the mid-belly, in the muscle, and you miss 2 or 3 weeks. And they're the ones that a lot of players get. And I had a few of those in my late 20s and got over them. But the one that really ended my career is when it gets up into your tendon, when you start having issues with your hamstring tendon, they can be the ones that can really hang around and require surgery.
Did you have surgery?
Yeah, I had surgery on mine. And in round 6, 2009, tried to come back at round 20 for Coburg and did it again. So that was about a 14-week hamstring. I had surgery, though. So that's the reason I ask. If Buddy's getting towards having to have surgery, it's going to be a big ask to get back, this year in particular.
Jared, you're the house physetta. I mean, pardon me, Charlie Gardner said today that it was going to be worse than the last one he had midway through last year, where he missed 9 weeks, but they weren't sure whether...
Yeah, the Swans knew they weren't playing finals, so they just packed him up.
Put him away.
Yep, he ended up playing in round 23 in the last home and away, which was his 300th. Do you think he's going to play a meaningful part in this season? It's too early to tell.
It's impossible to know, because until they have a scan and until the surgeons get hold of it and operate, it's impossible to know. If I knew that the Swans were going to be a certainty to play finals, I'd say he's going to play finals. He'll play footy again. But
I think
they will be faced with the same prospect as last year if they're not likely to play finals, and that is, do we get him back playing? I suspect, Richo, given he's played so little football in the last 2 years, that would be something to strive for. Just get back on the park, get 4 weeks under your belt, and aim for 2021.
Yeah, I would think Buddy would 100% be aiming to get back, and as soon as he can, because even at his age, it starts creeping into your mind, gee, I've got to go through another preseason. I know he's contracted and he will be around next year, but for his own peace of mind, just to get his body right and play some football and get some confidence would be really important for him. So, no, he'll be back this year.
Does the mental aspect, Richo, of injuries when you get to that stage of your career, do you think it has any impact physically?
I think it can. I think subconsciously it can affect you. And I think the other thing at his age is it can just get all too much, injury and rehab. You're just like, oh, is it worth it when you're getting up to 33, 34? And hamstring strains are the worst. They do your head in worse than anything. And with the weight that you carry at his size, he's 100 kilos. And even if he tried to lose weight, he's never going to be much less than 100. Coming back from that with muscle injuries, it's a real worry for the Swans.
Mm. Well, let's open up the lines. 13, 13, 32 for Trojan Tools. They're backed by a lifetime guarantee. No questions asked. You can find them at your local Bunnings store. First on the line, if you'd like to join us, 13 13 32, you may have a view on sport, on rugby league, on Scoop v. Eddie. Mary's on the line. Welcome to you, Mary.
Oh, good evening, gentlemen. I'm sorry, I don't know anything about sport, but I listen to you every night.
Oh, great.
I was listening to Sam speaking, and I want to congratulate him. It was an absolute pleasure listening to him speak and saying schedule instead of that wretched American pronunciation of schedule that so many people have adopted in our country. So, Sam, if you're listening,
thanks, Mary.
Thank you so much, darling, for speaking so nicely. It was just a pleasure.
He's a great orator, is our Sam. He's a great command of the English language. And just for Mary, one more time, Scoop, can you give it to us?
Schedule.
You magnificent pronunciation. Good on you, Mary. Thanks for your call. Sam's next on the line.
Good evening. I personally don't believe two wrongs make a right, but is there a chance that Eddie's a little bit frustrated that other players don't come under the same scrutiny as Collingwood players regarding this Jack Stevens business?
Well, I wouldn't think that they come under any different scrutiny, Richo, do you?
I don't think so.
On Heath Scotland and others?
I don't think so. I mean, any player playing for a team in Melbourne, if there's an issue that a journalist thinks needs to be addressed, it's going to be addressed.
Can I just have one final say on all this? Because there's been so much spoken about it today, I couldn't believe it. I grew up watching Eddie as a journalist. He's one of my biggest idols, and I've got so much respect for him. The point I was trying to make last night was that Eddie was saying, if he hired me as a journo and sent me down to the Jack Stephen to Geelong, and I didn't ask Jack Stephen what happened, that he'd say, go home, son. My response to that was, since he was at the peak of his powers, the world has adapted in a large way, particularly surrounding how we deal with mental health. So I am not embarrassed as a journo that I wouldn't ask that question to Jack, because I know what happened as a journalist. Jack doesn't want that made public, and that's, in my opinion, up to him. That's all I was saying.
And you're taking into account the recent history that we know that Jack's had.
Well, he's been open about the fact
sensitive about that.
Yeah, I mean, he spent a lot of time away from footy last year. He was open about the facts as to why. I think that someone like that commands a bit of respect, and I'm happy to grant him that and not delve into personal issues.
Thank you for opening up the can of worms again, Sam. And Sam McClure has finally responded. Rob's on the line as well. Buddy Franklin on the menu, Rob.
Yeah, I was wondering if the Swans could replace Buddy with Joey Danaher, a hammy for a groin.
I'll tell you what, it raises the question today. It's going to come up again now, isn't it, with Buddy, 33 years of age and his body starting to let him down a little bit.
3 years left, including this year.
Yeah, 3 years left, and already knowing that the Swans are super keen, obviously, on Joe Danaher. Yeah. That speculation's just going to be around for the rest of the season now.
Can I just repeat or just ask the question again? Were the Swans keen on Danaher, or was Danaher keen on the Swans?
Both.
Well, that's a reasonable answer. This is Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty and Red Energy. Born and bred in Melbourne, that's Red Energy.
Matthew Richardson for McDonald's. Get all your Macca's favourites delivered to your home with McDelivery. Fast, safe, contact-free.
Matthew Richardson is here for McDonald's. Head to McCafe drive-thru and grab your favourite barista-made coffee today, Jared.
Before we talk to Tom Scully, Hawthorn wingman, I want to ask you, Richo, your thoughts on the other big topic of the day, and that was about whether or not we should add a couple of interchange players. Speaking to a couple of people today, they tell me that some are in favour of adding subs, one sub, maybe two subs, and leave the interchange as is. As a few coaches want to keep it as it is, and others are pushing for an extra two interchange players to help players, particularly those coming off injury, get back into the team. What's your thoughts on it?
Well, I think leave it as is. I understand why they brought the shorter quarters in, because they thought we're going to have to condense the season down, players recovering. I get that, and they're going to keep that now. Whether they keep it next year, we'll find out. But I think the real worry around all of this is we're seeing players with soft tissues. Ben Reid, again, at Collingwood today. Treloar's out. Buddy's out. I think they're worried about, players coming back off this preseason and then 12 weeks off and then coming back in. I think there's real concerns that there's going to be some big injury tolls, and maybe they need more rotations, more guys on the bench. I think that's the thinking behind it, but I just think leave it as is.
Yeah, I actually think it's flawed thinking, because if you go through the reality of adding extra interchange players, the game's going to get quicker because you've got less fatigue.
Fitter players and more.
I agree.
You've got more time after goals. It's gone from 40 seconds to a minute. You've got less time out in the ground. You've got more time at quarter time and three-quarter time. So this fatigue element has been dropped down. If you add another couple of players, I reckon the speed will be that harsh. You're putting players under more chance of being injured.
I'm not sure our next guest has heard that particular F word, fatigue. The only F word he's heard of is finals. He's the fittest player in the competition. His name is Tom Scully. He played 21 games for the Hawks last year after the now infamous trade with GWS, and he joins us online. Welcome, Tom.
Good evening, guys.
How's the body pulled up after the first few days of pre-season 2.0?
Yeah, body's actually feeling pretty good. It's a bit of a strange feeling, obviously, to sort of be going back into second pre-season after a couple of months layoff. But, training's been pretty good. I mean, Hawthorn have implemented a really good program to keep the guys fresh, and fit, you know, still fit enough over that 8 week break. But you know, all reports are, and from what I've seen, the guys have come back really in pretty good nick, and everyone seems to be tracking along quite well.
Tom, is there a little bit of an anxiety moving forward with injuries and soft tissue? I know guys would have tried to do the program as best they could in isolation, but it's pretty hard training on your own to get that same intensity. Is there a bit of anxiety and nervousness about injury?
I think, yeah, no doubt there'd be some guys a little bit probably more nervous than others. You know, I mean, you can only sort of indicate to yourself, you know, how hard you have worked over the break. And as you said, Richo, mate, it is pretty tough to only train in pairs or sometimes by yourself during the isolation. So it's been, it's a fine line, I guess. I mean, and that's a real challenge, I guess, for particularly for the fitness and medical staff is, you know, how hard do you work the players, in this, I guess, mini pre-season block? And, you know, every club's going to have different philosophies, but, you know, I'm certainly, confident that, you know, at the guys at the Hawks have got a good program in, and hopefully we can keep a fit and healthy list.
Tom, only 2 weeks to go and you play down at Geelong, where they haven't played for a long time, the Hawks. You get through this block. I was having a look at it today. You play Geelong, you play Richmond, you play the Giants and North Melbourne. You've already beaten Brisbane. So if you get through this with some W's, you're in pretty good shape, aren't you?
Yeah, look, Rich, over those four games you reeled off, you know, they're as tough as any right now in the competition. So, you know, we're not, it's the old thing, we're not looking any further ahead than Geelong. I mean, that's going to be a tough road trip down there, but we're looking forward to it. I mean, we're just so fortunate and privileged that we were able to get the game back going. So I think I've heard a lot of players talk in the media about just being grateful to get back and play. So we're happy to go and play wherever, and if that's down at Geelong, we'll go and play down there, no worries. And then, as you said, it gets tougher from there, on to Richmond the week after. And but yeah, as you said, if we can get through those first 4 weeks, I guess, you know, and get some form and get up and running, it certainly does set you up, you know, for sort of the middle and back half of the year.
Tom, there have been rumours circulating for years just how fastidious and excruciating your training sessions are and what you put yourself through. What have you been doing personally the last 6 weeks to maintain your high levels of fitness?
Oh, Sam, I think there's a few myths out there, mate. To be honest, it's the old thing. I mean, it's funny. I mean, I get asked a lot about, I guess, my running and all that type of thing. And like, it, to be honest, it's something that, you know, obviously I do pride myself on, but it's not something I solely go out and focus on. I mean, I'd like to think that I can and still play football reasonably well. And running is certainly a key attribute to my game. But I guess in terms of the isolation period, I mean, as I said, we're given a program by the fitness and medical staff and obviously followed that closely. And there might have been a couple of sessions on top of that that, you know, just to top up the lungs a bit, but nothing out of this world.
So I'm in isolation. One thing we all did was get out and have a walk around. It was our looking forward to it every day. And we get around Princess Park or the Botanical Gardens, the Tan Track. Did you run the Tan or Princess Park? And if you did, give us your best time around there.
Well, Richard, I haven't gone and beaten your time, mate. So I hear you were pretty handy around the Tan. So I actually haven't run the Tan, to be honest. So
you haven't run the Tan.
Come on, Tom. Come on now. You'd be running the Tan in near single figures, I would think.
Oh, I'm not sure, mate. I've got a little bit of land out my way that I had a few hills and that type of thing that I could do a bit of training on. So I tended to keep away from the big smoke.
Tom, have you ever read the book The Great Heist by Jeff MacArthur?
I can't say I have, Jared. No.
Well, I'll give you the blurb. It says, on a sunny September morning in 1930, six men entered the Lincoln National Bank in Nebraska's capital city, armed with revolvers and Thompson submachine guns. In 8 minutes, they emerged with more than $2.7 million, the largest take of any bank heist in history. I'm told, and this is a world exclusive, that he's come up with a sequel. And I'll give you the blurb. Alistair Clarkson and Graham Watt Wright entered the GWS offices in 2018 armed with pen, pad and a Hawthorne jumper. In 8 minutes, they emerged with one Tom Scully. One of the great recruiting heists in history was produced. I must admit, I was amazed that they were able to pull off a great recruiting coup. And right now, I'd say you've absolutely paid them back. Clarko at the time said it was going to take 3 years to prove whether it was a win or not, but, gee, you must be thrilled with the way it's going.
Yeah, look, I mean, to be honest, Jared, there was a lot of unknown. I mean, I'll be totally honest. I wasn't even sure if I'd ever get back in and play as many games as I did last year. I mean, without looking too far ahead, I certainly wouldn't have thought I would have played 21 games after. I guess the medical sort of feedback that I'd received wasn't overly positive, and I was in a real sort of unknown spot at the time. I sort of thought, well, I'm 27 years old, and you know, I was coming off a couple of good years, but I wasn't too sure how much footy I had left in me. But sitting down with the Hawthorn medical staff reaffirmed they had great confidence that you know, my injury was definitely manageable, and with good management and obviously a bit of luck involved as well, but certainly good management, they were confident that I'd be able to get back and be able to play some good footy, you know, for a number of years yet. So, yeah, 1 year down and you know, reasonably successful in terms of playing games. So I'm certainly confident, Jared, that over the next couple of years I can play some good footy.
As am I. There's always a bit of a risk in a bank heist, but right now history's saying this is one of the better ones.
That is unbelievable. What are your own personal expectations just for this year, Tom? I mean, are you back to what you would describe as 100% fitness that you were in your peak of your powers in GWS, or are there still things that you have to watch and maintain?
Oh, look, to be honest, Sam, like, I mean, yeah, I mean, I can't get away from the fact it was a, you know, pretty significant injury. So there's no doubt there's long-term damage, and the old thing, you know, my ankle's never going to be the same as it was, you know, prior to the injury. But I guess now is my new norm, so I've had to learn to deal with that, and even going to Hawthorn, I guess the way they've changed my habits in terms of training. You know, I know when I was at GWS, I obviously loved to do as much training as I could, and, you know, that's now not realistic for me now, and I've had to learn, I guess, even mentally to just deal with that a bit and learn that it's okay to not do every session. I mean, I look at a guy like Sean Burgoyne, and, you know, I guess the success that the Hawks have had with him, and, you know, you look back 10 years ago when he first went there, and there were skeptics about his future there. And I look at his program and I think, well, I probably hope I don't get on that program. He doesn't train too often, Shawnee, but he still goes out and performs unbelievably well on the weekend. So, yeah, look, it's been a learning curve just about around training habits, and so far so good. So I'm certainly embracing the change.
What about Jaeger Amir? A little setback for him with the facial injury at training. Do you expect to get him back in this four-week block at all?
Yeah, look, Richo, it's a bit unknown, mate. I did see him at training yesterday. He was back at the club. So I think initial reports were that he may needed surgery, but I think he's avoided that. So that's a positive. Whether or not if he can get back and play in the next, you know, couple of weeks, I'm not 100% sure. I think that's still going to have to play out over the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, I guess the good news is that he has avoided surgery. So not ideal, but I think it could have been a lot worse.
You don't want surgery on that face, Jaeger.
Nah, well, that's his post-footy career, mate. He's got the modelling career sorted.
He's going to Hollywood.
Tom, as we let you go, Richo, what was your best time around the 10?
13, exactly.
Righto. Well, Tom, if at some stage this year, obviously when footy's not on, if you can run around the 10...
I can do it easy and in his sleep.
...and beat that time, and we can send a camera down there, I'll...
backwards and do it.
We'll make a significant donation to whichever charity you want. How's that?
No, that sounds good. As long as Richo puts his hand up to do the pace, mate, I'll be happy.
Yes, I'll pace, right, mate, for about 100 metres. I reckon I'll go with you, Tom.
I just want a little bit of clarity on what the word significant means before you took that deal.
Four figures. Tom, appreciate it. Good luck for the year, and good luck for the rest of your career. We hope it's injury-free.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tom Scully there. Very expansive, Tom Scully.
He'd go under 13, Tom. Yeah. The elite runners at AFL clubs are from about 12:45 to 13 around the 10. The real elite ones, and Tom's one of those.
So that's 330 Ks.
And that's good running.
That's good running.
Particularly with that hill up Anderson Street.
It's a 600-metre hill. Yeah. News headlines with Tony Tardio is next for Polaris, Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand for the fourth year running. Tony, good evening.
Matthew Richardson is with us for Polaris. They are Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand for the fourth year running. End of financial year sale is on now. Greg Swan has been good enough, as always, to join us right throughout this COVID-19 period. And a time when some clubs, including his own, was put under the microscope by Peter Gordon during the week. Welcome to you, Swanee.
Hello, Jared. How are you?
How did you receive all that news?
It's, I think there's a bit of lack of knowledge about what does happen. I mean, I've been in big clubs and small clubs, or, you know, what are we called? Recipient clubs, I think we were called. And, you know, there's been calls for, you know, greater scrutiny, all that. But, you know, we're scrutinised within an inch of our lives when you're a recipient club. You know, you can't, you're setting budgets and things like that every day and send them off the AFL. You can't make major appointments of staff or anything without kick-offs. So I think this conception that, you know, everyone gets a bucket of money and we all waste it is nonsense. And, you know, so anyway, we'll have to educate some people that it's not, you know, there is plenty of accountability. I don't think that's an issue. I mean, there's probably fundamental issues with your business and, you know, trying to raise revenues and things, but the accountability side's really well taken care of.
Peter Gordon, along with Jeff Kennett, two guys on the war committee, have both raised the issue essentially about the longevity of 18 clubs. Where do you see it sitting as we speak? Not just this year, because maybe Gill and the chairman of the AFL would like not to lose clubs under their watch, but do you see it as an issue for the medium term?
Look, no, I don't. I mean, I think obviously everything will have to scale back because, you know, we've been driven by TV rights, obviously. You know, that's been huge numbers, which has then driven everyone, you know, from a club perspective, all their dividends and everything. That's on the back of broadcasting, and you assume that that'll come off like everything else will. And so everyone, you know, will tighten our belts and come back. But I think, you know, I think that can happen. I mean, it's an interesting debate. I mean, it's, you know, we've always had big clubs, medium clubs and small clubs, you know, and that's sort of the nature of the competition. And we've never had, you know, we're very much a socialist competition, and, you know, it's a bit, and we are modelled a lot on the NFL, and they've got the same things over there. You know, you've got a team in Green Bay, it has 100,000 people, and then you've got teams in New York and LA. And so I think it survives. Does it survive in its current format? Who knows? I mean, you know, you'd get killed, but I mean, having lived in Melbourne, I mean, there's 10 teams in one city. So if, you know, if they're talking about the pressures of that, you know, maybe that's a thing that might change over the journey. But I think, you know, two teams in other, you know, in major capital city or major, yeah, other major capital cities, I don't think there's, you know, room for that to change. But I think in the medium term, things can survive without too much problem.
Well, Swanee, you've been great for us through isolation here on Sports Day. So you must be wrapped now to be looking forward to the footy. You've got four games at the Gabba, obviously all of the teams in the hub. The boys must be looking forward to getting into that. And four games in a row at the Gabba, it gives you a good chance to set things up.
Yeah, look, it does. It's a good thing for us. We, you know, we'll play some games away, obviously, in the back end. But, you know, everyone that you talk to, you know what it's like when you have a good season. You normally start off well. You know, you build confidence, and, you know, the boys start getting up and about. So with four home games, that's hopefully what we can do. Yeah, we're playing good teams, but. You know, to play finals, we only lost one game at home last year. So, you know, we need to replicate that. And if we can get off to a flyer and win these games, you know, after losing our first one, then, you know, that sets us up for the remainder of the year. So hopefully we do get off to a good start. Our blokes have come back in good nick. And yeah, you're right. I mean, I assume every club's the same. Everyone's up and about. Like, it's great that we can talk about footy instead of everything else that we've sort of filled in the last few months. But yeah, we're looking forward to it. We can't wait. We hope, it's going to be interesting again. You know, no crowds and lack of atmosphere and what the TV networks do with, you know, do they put pretend noise in and stuff like that. But, yeah, that's going to be interesting. But anyway, it's great to have the games back on. I mean, up here with the Broncos start tonight against the Eels, so that's going to be big for NRL and we'll follow in a couple of weeks' time.
Swanee, there's a little bit of talk, and you look in the press today about maybe crowds in the back end of the year. Is it going to be a case, though, where you're going to need to have a certain amount of people in there to make it worthwhile having crowds with the cost factor of staffing the venues and the like?
Yeah, look, we've spoken to the Gabba about that, and it's a good point because you may be able to get people in, you know, every third seat and things and fill the start, you know, put them all around the stadium, but then you're going to have extra security to make sure that they don't, you know, encroach on the three seats and a lot of those things. But look, I think there's certainly a want from the stadiums and obviously the clubs to get people back. So we're all looking at that and all looking at modelling and how that's going to work. And, you know, they've come up with some concepts, even in the early stages, that might work for us financially and getting people back in. So, yeah, as you say, back end of the year, you know, hopefully sort of end of July, August, certainly, you'd be over the moon if you could get people back into the stadiums.
One of the hot topics down here, Greg, and I'm sure you've followed it, is whether or not a journalist should ask somebody who is involved in an issue which may well dabble in the mental health sides of life. Would you expect the journalist to ask the question, or do you expect the journalist not to ask the question?
I've always been, I might be old school, but I've always been of the view that if somebody or, you know, a club tells someone, look, don't go there because there's a mental health issue, then they shouldn't go there.
Okay.
But, you know, each journo has a different view of that, but, you know, we probably know our players better than anyone, and so if we sort of deem that it is there's a genuine mental health issue and you don't want it played out in, you know, in public and whatever, and, you know, you ask not to go there, I think that's probably a fair request.
The other issue that some people are chatting about is that the chair of epidemiology at Deakin University has commented on crowds, saying that she thinks that some of the recommendations for crowds, if they came back to the AFL, would be that you're not allowed to boo and you're not allowed to yell, because that would actually enhance or increase the likelihood of transference. Do you think this is actually possible for a crowd to actually sustain their calm look at life if Collingwood are 3 points up going into the final quarter against the Tigers?
Are you sure it's not 1st of April? That's got to be an April Fool's story, surely. It is funny, you know, just as an aside, have you ever known so many experts in an area that no one had ever heard of before this last 2 months?
No, but I'll tell you what, there's a few trying to jump on the celebrity circuit through it.
Yeah, well, there's serious, there's an expert on everything, but this expert, I think, has got it wrong. There's not a chance you can go to the footy and not boo and yell. Otherwise, why would you go?
That's
part of the game.
I'm not sure Catherine Bennett is a huge AFL fan, because she actually uses the term hooting may have to be eased. I haven't seen much hooting at AFL games in recent times.
No, they're like closest to that are those bars in America, I think, but not quite hooting, but they're similar.
Yeah, similar stuff. As always, Greg, great to have a chat.
Thanks, boys. Cheers.
Greg Swan there for Australian Made. Boost your sales with the Australian Made logo. More Sports Day after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. It's time for a Ladbrokes update. Back yourself with Ladbrokes. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858. Now, if there's one man in the country that you go to for odds and for tips, it is this man. That's why they call him the Rain Man. Tom Hackett, welcome to you.
Hello, Sammy. Thank you for that very kind introduction.
Well, you've got to live up to it now. Tommy, AFL Round 2 markets are out. Where is the money? Where is the value?
It's very, very exciting, Sammy. First game back will be Collingwood versus Richmond. Richmond are the favourites here, $1.62. Collingwood at $2.25. Early money has gone the way of the Tigers, but that'll probably even out as we get closer to the action. Geelong have been well back to beat Hawthorn in their opener. They're $1.53. The Hawks are $2.50. Pretty good money for the Brisbane Lions. They're clear favourites, $1.36 to beat Fremantle at $3.10. Interesting game from a betting perspective, this one, Melbourne-Carlton. Carlton are the $2.50 outsiders. Early money, though, is in favour of the Navy Blues, while Melbourne have been somewhat friendless at $1.53. It's going to be an interesting addition to Showdown. Port Adelaide are clear favourites there at $1.50, or the Crows at $2.55. Shortest price favourites of the week are the West Coast Eagles at $1.15. No surprises, the Suns have been pretty unpopular at $5.25. You've got the Giants as favourites to beat North Melbourne. Swans are favourites to beat Essendon. And the Western Bulldogs are favourites to beat St Kilda.
Hey, what can I get for Essendon to beat Sydney at the SCG?
$1.95, Sammy. I think it's a bit of value there, actually. I think they might be one of the best betting players of the weekend.
Well, I'll be putting that into Melbourne at $1.53, given that it is Max Gawn up against Declan Pittenett, experience and All-Australian, up against a guy who's just got to the club. A quick Brownlow medal update as you leave us.
This one's just for you, Jared. We've got the Brownlow medal.
Thank you, Thomas.
Group, $7. Yeah, I demanded they put Jack Viney in there as well, and he's now in at 100-1. So there's a bit of value there if you're still keen there, Jared.
Well, Jared, you're going to open up an account, Jared, and have a small investment at 100-1. Thank you.
You won't need to have a big one at 101. What about the NRL tonight? It's an historic game of NRL football, the first post-COVID.
Yeah, very exciting this one, Jared. The Eels have been very well backed. They now into $1.77, despite the Suncorp Stadium factor. It's been all about the Eels. All the late money has gone their way. The Broncos are out to $2.05. I think the Broncos are a good chance here. They can bounce back from that finals disappointment last year.
Good on you, Tommy. Tommy Hackett there for Ladbrokes. Back yourself with Ladbrokes. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858. It's time for the world-famous Yes No Richo.
Richo, do you think, as captain, Max Gawn should refrain from having a bleached mohawk, yes or no?
No.
Should the AFL have cardboard cutouts of fans in empty seats at games this year?
Yes.
Should the AFL have AFL-endorsed tarps as well in the AFL to fill up the crowds?
Yes.
Should the longest members of a club be the first to be given access to tickets if crowds return?
Yes.
Should Geelong be able to play all home games at GMHBA, including all finals, if in fact they get to a preliminary final, with the exception of the grand final?
Yes.
Should the West Coast Eagles, Fremantle and Port Adelaide and Adelaide all be granted more staff than the allocated 25?
Yes.
She's quick fire tonight.
Do you find it unusual, Richo, to have to pay $70 to register your personal pool at council offices after receiving a letter from the same council that clearly already know you have a pool?
Yes.
Hang on. As the judge, I am eliminating and eradicating all future personal Yes No Richos, Jared.
I know.
That was planted.
I know it actually got personal with Richo. I had to pay it today. Do you feel the sanitising police in orange vests are good value, yes or no?
No.
Will Tom Scully be viewed as a great heist in the next few years?
Yes.
Will there be home and away crowds, yes or no?
No.
Will there be finals crowds, yes or no?
Yes.
Has Buddy Franklin been a good recruit for the Sydney Swans?
Yes.
Will Joe Danaher be in Sydney next year?
Yes.
Did Scoop McClure win the battle with Edward Maguire last night?
Oh, jeez. I didn't see it. But
oh, that's offensive.
But he's come out strong today, so I'll say he did.
Sticking fat with the team vote. Nice work from you, Richard.
Hey, and you could have just said yes.
And Scoop,
I'm scared of Eddie, though.
Yes or no, Scoopo, do you think that Richo's moustache should stay for the year?
No. If I had clippers on me now, I'd shave it now. Anyone head to our Twitter. I'm going to take a photo and you can have your own vote. Richo, love your work.
Good to see you, guys.
Matthew Richardson for McDonald's. It's coming up to the 7 o'clock news.
Sports Day for Kia's open season, continuing with match-winning deals. And Red Energy, a 100% Australian gas and electricity retailer.
You're listening to Sports Day. It's for Tyre Power, keeping the Australian public safe on the roads in difficult times. Tyrepower.com.au. Looking forward to hearing Yes, No, Richo's, Jared, all for the good people at Wilson Homes. But first,
I'm actually interested, Scoop, for those people just joining us, that we quickly run through the big stories of the day, and that is Buddy Franklin, the interchange bench, and the two stories that you broke at the top of the program, which I think got swept under the carpet to some degree, and that is the big news coming out of cricket.
Which is, I'm told as early as tomorrow, potentially early next week, Cricket Australia will release its summer schedule.
Yep.
And I'm also told, Jared, that it will essentially be identical to what it was pre-COVID-19. Now, that significantly includes the T20 World Cup. And the kicker to all this is that I'm told that Cricket Australia expects there to be crowds.
It's quite amazing, isn't it, how quickly it's moved, if that's the case, because it was only, I think, during the week, I suspected that, was it Peter Lawler in The Australian saying that perhaps the IPL may be played in October? Well, that's not going to be the case, surely.
Yep.
If the Australian Cricket Board are anticipating that we're going to have the World Cup, which I think also relies upon a number of factors, and the main one being that the government is going to sanction, I guess,
special permission.
Special permissions.
Yeah, special permission for the international players travelling here, and then would be specially quarantined. But the crowds one is a big one.
It is big, but to be honest, Richo's point in the first hour was a very significant one.
And one that I hadn't heard before.
Yeah, that is, it's uneconomic to open up the MCG unless the crowd numbers are around the 30,000 people. So if you are distancing, that means almost every seat in the house at the MCG, that's available seat in the house, will be full.
And Greg Swan, veteran CEO now at the Brisbane Lions, had thoughts on that earlier.
Yeah, look, we've spoken to the Gabba about that, and it's a good point, because you may be able to get people in, you know, every third seat and things, and fill the start, you know, put them all around the stadium, but then you're going to have extra security to make sure that they don't, you know, encroach on the three seats and a lot of those things. But look, I think there's certainly a want from the stadiums and obviously the clubs to get people back. And so we're all looking at that and all looking at modelling and how that's going to work. And, you know, they've come up with some concepts, even in the early stages, that might work for us financially and getting people back in. So, yeah, as you say, back end of the year, you know, hopefully sort of end of July, August, certainly you'd be over the moon if you could get people back into the stadiums.
Well, he'd heard about that, he'd thought about it, and he'd spoken to those in charge of the Gabba. The one thing that he hadn't heard of and was taken aback was the suggestion by Catherine Bennett, chair of epidemiology, I'll get that right, epidemiology, at Deakin University, who said today, and I quote, "I would think the AFL may have to include as a recommendation, given it will be hard to maintain the 1.5 metre between groups anyway, that shouting and hooting may have to be eased, given this will increase the spread from one person to another. One of the COVID-19 transmission concerns is increased spread when people speak loudly, sing, and therefore cheering along with their team."
Yeah, it's a disappointing one, because I'm not a shouter, but I am certainly a hooter at the football. Greg Swan also had thoughts on this.
There's an expert in everything, but this expert, I think, has got it wrong. There's not a chance you can go to the footy and not boo and yell. Otherwise, why would you go?
Indeed.
Unless
you're going to do it behind a... Maybe there's an opportunity here, though.
For?
A commercial arrangement.
Yeah.
Club-endorsed and coloured face masks. So you can yell all you like into your face mask. Let's get those made in China quickly, Scoop. Get them out for round two, June 11th.
It's certainly got some legs.
That.
If they're coming from China, we know that they'll get to this state.
Correct. Very nice, Sue. Very nice.
Hey, Jared. On that, I just wonder whether, and I've completely lost my train of thought. We were talking about crowds and returning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where I was going with that. I just wanted to talk to you about Peter Volandi's comments.
That's what you did want to talk to me about.
St. Peter,
yep.
As you have dommed him. I'm not sure if you were... I was up early this morning and watching Karl Stefanovic interview Peter Volandi's
right.
On the Today Show. And as we know...
Was it a cheer squad session or...?
No, it wasn't. No, okay. Karl was doing a great job. But as we know, Peter can go off into tangents.
I don't really know that much about Peter, but I know is what I've seen him achieve.
Yes, but you and I have both watched him and listened to him and read comments from him over the last 8 weeks, and he's a big thinker. He thinks big. He doesn't think small.
Good.
And I just wondered your take on this from this morning.
It's all about risk. If you leave your home and you go in a car, there's a 1,000-to-1 chance you're going to have a car accident. Well, if you leave your house now, there's a 1,000-to-1 chance you're going to contract the coronavirus. If we took that philosophy, we wouldn't leave our house. We wouldn't leave being under the bed.
Now, Jared.
Yes, good.
You know that
you've been desperate to whack this bloke for months.
We are big fans of Peter Volandis on this show. But just stop short, Peter, of trying to be a medical expert and saying that you've got the same, that going out in your car is the same risk of getting the coronavirus because you're looking at a stat sheet. You can't spread car accidents by getting in a car accident. So can we just...
No, but I think the point he's trying to make, Scoop, and I think you're being a little bit pedantic here.
I knew you'd defend him. That's why I brought this up.
No, I'm just... The point he's trying to make is that we have to actually quantify the risk and put it into its truest perspective. Now, we thought at the start of the pandemic that we were at risk of overcrowding the hospital. So therefore, we took this dramatic... took these dramatic measures to basically save our hospital system from being overrun.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we flatten out the curve, and we could have opened it up probably 3 weeks ago when it's all said and done.
But we don't know if there's going to be a second wave, Jared. So you can understand the restrictions.
No, I can't understand the restrictions at the moment. I can understand social isolation, and I can understand behavioural, but I think the restriction element, it's time for it to be over.
Well, what restrictions aren't you happy with? Do you think that pubs and restaurants should
I think it's time the pubs and restaurants should have opened 2 weeks ago.
Fully.
Well, to a degree, with social distancing.
But they are doing that on June 1. They're opening with social distancing.
Yeah, I said that. We could have done this 3 weeks ago. I mean, the curve has been the curve for a long, long time. Victoria had less active cases 2 weeks ago than we've got at the present time.
Yep.
And so has New South Wales.
But isn't being conservative too aggressive?
No, I think there's a balance there. And look, if you had have asked the chief health officer of Australia what he wanted to do, he would have had the states opened up 2 weeks ago when he asked everybody to send them back to school. I mean, the chief health officer didn't want kids to be away from school, but politics comes into play. And so therefore you've got state governments all trying to be re-elected and they're on a winner by being overly protective.
Mm.
But they're not the ones who are going to raise the taxes. Well, they may well do that.
I think they will.
They may well do that as well.
Yep.
And so then they'll have another battle. But, I mean, Peter Volandis is on the money. We were really strong early.
Mm.
He saw it, that maybe we could have got ahead of the curve, and he got ahead of the curve. Good luck to him.
Well, I'm just being told via social media that the Premier, Daniel Andrews, has in fact heard our idea for face masks to be made in China, and they have already been made.
Good.
And they are already on the plane. So that's good news.
Evidently, he's got good contacts up there.
This is Sports Day, powered by a 100% Australian gas and electricity retailer. That's Red Energy. You can make the switch today. We're also, later in this hour, going to be chatting with Peter Johnson about everything going on in tennis. Wimbledon have had a massive win with its pandemic insurance.
Yep.
Now, Craig Tiley...
Also of Australia.
Well, Craig Tiley was on this program a couple of weeks ago and said that they've been paying for pandemic insurance. I'm told it's running out.
When is it running out?
July. And I'm told there are certain hiccups in trying to
It's running out.
Yeah, it's definitely up in July. Well, so the policy.
In other words, the Australian Open hasn't got pandemic insurance.
Well, not the next one. The last one did.
Yeah, well, the last one did, but it wasn't affected by the pandemic.
That's right. Although you did break the story that it was going to affect this country and that no one could see it during the first week of the Australian Open. I remember huddling in one of the back rooms of the court talking about the fact that, well, Jared, we think that the China game may actually be in some doubt.
What a load of rubbish that was.
The whole world has closed down since then, and we were worried about the China game. It's funny looking back.
Actually on Monday night, we interviewed Ken Hinckley on the couch.
Yeah.
The irony of it was that had the world stayed the same, that same time that he was doing the interview, he was to be boarding a Cathay Pacific flight to Shenzhen to start his
journey
campaign to maintain his winning ways up in Shanghai. Wasn't Shenzhen, it was Shanghai he was off to. It is unbelievable. I mean, that's how quickly the world has changed. It was round nine equivalent. And here we are. We still have employed. It's amazing.
It certainly is. This is Sports Day. More after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. For Tyre Power, keeping the Australian public safe on the roads in difficult times, tyrepower.com.au. We're surrounded by television screens in our studio here, Jared. And I just saw some images of Nick Nat back training. And I just thought, when this guy gets back into full flight, no one comes close to him, I reckon.
No, I agree. In fact, I had one particular person only recently ask me, who would you take in full flight, Nick Natanui or Joe Danaher?
Gee, that's an interesting question.
Yeah. I thought about it for about 3 or 4 seconds. As much as I'm a fan of Joe Danaher, I'm a bigger fan of Natanui.
Yes, and it's sort of hard to think about Danaher in full flight because...
Been a long time.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it on Anzac Day last year.
You know, you're the same for Nick Nat, though. This will be his year. Yeah. In fact, he hasn't dominated a year for some period of time. Should have been All-Australian twice. Got robbed about, 2 years ago when they only went with one ruckman, which was ridiculous, but nevertheless.
I forget about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a ridiculous...
One of the great errors.
Yep. And I went with one ruckman. Strange.
In fact, we should do that Moments in Time or from the archives. Either way, we could find something on that. Let's get to Yes No Richo. It's for Wilson Homes. Chat with one of their friendly staff today about personalising a home design to suit your individual lifestyle.
Richo, do you think as captain, Max Gawn should refrain from having a bleached mohawk, yes or no?
No.
Should the AFL have cardboard cutouts of fans in empty seats at games this year?
Yes.
Should the AFL have AFL-endorsed tarps as well in the AFL to fill up the crowds?
Yes.
Should the longest members of a club be the first to be given access to tickets if crowds return?
Yes.
Should Geelong be able to play all home games at GMHBA, including all finals, if in fact they get to a preliminary final, with the exception of the grand final?
Yes.
Should the West Coast Eagles, Fremantle and Port Adelaide and Adelaide all be granted more staff than the allocated 25?
Yes.
She's quick fire tonight.
Do you find it unusual, Richo, to have to pay $70 to register your personal pool at council offices after receiving a letter from the same council that clearly already know you have a pool?
Yes.
Hang on. As the judge, I'm eliminating and eradicating all future personal Yes No Richos, Jared.
I know.
I
know it actually got personal with Richo. I had to pay it today. Do you feel the sanitising police in orange vests are good value, yes or no?
No.
Will Tom Scully be viewed as a great heist in the next few years?
Yes.
Will there be home and away crowds, yes or no?
No.
Will there be finals crowds, yes or no?
Yes.
Has Buddy Franklin been a good recruit for the Sydney Swans?
Yes.
Will Joe Danaher be in Sydney next year?
Yes.
Did Scoop McClure win the battle with Edward Maguire last night?
Jeez. I didn't see it. But
oh, that's offensive.
But he's come out strong today, so I'll say he did.
Sticking fat with the team vote. Nice work from you, Richard.
Hey, and you could have just said yes.
And Scoop,
I'm scared of Eddie, though.
Yes or no, Scoopo, do you think that Richo's moustache should stay for the year?
No. If I had clippers on me now, I'd shave it now.
Well, there it was, yes, no, and Richo is in good form back in the office. The one thing I would say, I sincerely do like Richo's mo.
Yeah, so do I.
For yes or no.
But publicly, I had to take a stand. Some local footy news. Thanks to the TAC, win 5K. For staying connected, visit iCanWin.com.au. The Kyabram District Footy League has cancelled its season. So interesting to see what the other leagues do over the next few weeks. That is not the Kyabram. Doesn't affect the Kyabram Footy Club, who play in the Goulburn Valley Footy League. It's a slightly weaker league, but they have cancelled the season, which is bad news.
It's bad news, but it's very understandable.
Yes, it
is. You take away all the revenue streams, it's going to bankrupt some clubs to try and put the game on.
Jared, a couple of days ago, you and I were talking about, you know, important games for teams trying to avoid going 0-2.
Yes. Namely the Bulldogs and St Kilda.
And the D's.
And Brisbane. And Carlton.
Yes, but it's worse for the D's to go 0-2 than it is for Carlton.
No, absolutely.
Loftier expectations. Yep. On the flip side of that, I was just having a quick look at the Bombers, who I know that you and I and many others have debated where we see them.
Yep.
If they go to Sydney and win, Sydney without a lot of their players and now without Franklin and without Reid, you'd have to think would be a reasonably good chance.
I would say they should be favourites. I know that they aren't favourites. They're $1.95.
Which is odd.
The odds are odd, yep.
The odds are odd. But let's say that they go there and win and they go 2-0.
Yep.
Their next two games are then Melbourne and Carlton, both at the MCG.
Mm. Good start.
All of a sudden, I just feel like Essendon are one of those teams and one of those clubs.
Yep.
That if they can get some wind behind them, they might be good front runners. And I don't mean that in a backhanded way.
I understand. It's a lot easier to play finals footy when you get away to a good start.
And I've always felt like Essendon have always started, well, not always, recently have started poorly and been chasing their tail, trying to slip into the back end of the eight.
So in round two, they've got Sydney in Sydney.
Sydney in Sydney, yep. And then
I'd give them a win for that. And I think $1.95 if you are a punter, that's good. That's probably the best bet of the round.
And then you either face, they've got a Sunday afternoon game against Melbourne, who are either 1-1 mm-hmm. and have got back on the winner's list against a pretty soft Carlton,
yep.
or the unthinkable's happened and they've somehow managed to lose that game, and they're 0-2. Then they play Carlton. Now, we know that Essendon Carlton games, anything can happen, but you'd have to think that if the Bombers go into that game 3-0,
yep.
no one's going to be thinking that Carlton can win that game.
No, I'd agree with all of what you're saying right now.
So I'm not trying
If you won the first four, you've only got to win 5 out of 12. 12.
Yep.
To get yourself a final spot, probably.
Because so what's the magic number? 10.
No, 9, 10 certainties, 9.
Yep. And then guess who they play in round 5?
Question mark.
The Pies.
Well, the Pies, that's the Anzac Day replacement game.
But how good would that game
be? Yeah, that would be huge.
If the Pies are going well and the Bombers start 4-0,
yep.
that game you'd think would be a 98,000 plus at Jared. If there were crowds.
You can enter AFL Victoria and the TAC's $5,000 competition at iCanWin.com.au today. Welcome back to Sports Day for Wilson Homes. You can chat with one of their friendly staff about personalising a home design to suit your individual lifestyle, just as our next guest did some years ago. I'm talking about the chief football broadcaster of Win News down in Tasmania and probably the most highest calibre and highest celebrity status
yes.
Customer that Wilson Homes has had in the last 5 years.
No doubt.
Chief Costello does join us. Welcome to you, Brent.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
Going well. Can you just, I know you actually monitor this, can you just give us a brief synopsis of your thoughts on how Scoop McClure went v Eddie Maguire last night on AFL Classified?
Well, it hurts me to say because I'm a big Eddie Maguire man. I've loved Eddie for a long time, but Sam did very, very well last night. I thought he spoke very well. And speaking as a fellow journo, completely understood where he was coming from and had some very good facts to back it up with, I thought. So well done, Sam.
So
Thank you, Chief.
In the head-to-head battle, how did you score it?
Well, yeah, I would give it... yeah, look, Eddie always lands a few blows, I guess, but Sam had all the answers, I thought. Yeah, so I don't know, whatever. It was a knockout blow, I thought.
A knockout blow? That's strong stuff. Well done, Skip.
I was
well and truly asleep by the time it came onto free-to-air last night.
Three quarters of Australia.
But I am now going to go home and have a very close look at it. A knockout blow. That's a solid endorsement.
Chief, as we move on to more important issues, now... North Melbourne and Hawthorn say that they want to fulfil their contract in Tasmania. They've both got 4 more games each left. Does the Tasmanian government, and more importantly, do the people of Tasmania want games down there if crowds can't go?
No. Basically, yeah. Strong. What's the point? Is the message from the Premier. The deals were started for the economic reasons. We know that. And you know, getting people down here. So that was pretty much Peter Gutwin's message a couple of days ago at his briefing that there's no point having games here if crowds can't go.
How's Gutsy been performing in this? Has he got a force majeure clause in the contract, Gutsy, or is it going to be now left to interpretation from the lawyers?
Well, this is what we don't know. So we've asked the question a couple of times and negotiations are happening behind the scenes, but you know, it's all interesting because Hawthorn particularly have got the sponsorship component as well. They've got Tasmania on their jumpers, we know that, and Tasmania's plastered everywhere over the ground, I guess, when they play. So
yep.
that's all part of the deal as well. So how they're going to sort of negotiate their way out of this or what's going to happen is very, very interesting indeed.
I think the only way to work this through, unless there's a force majeure clause in the contract, and the sponsorship one absolutely complicates it. It's you've just got to get back, I think, to the long-term relationship and somehow find a level playing field or a level landing ground that endorses the spirit of the contract, which is, make things good for both parties.
Yeah, very true. And it's come at an interesting time as well, because we know this all wraps up at the end of next year, the 2021 season. That's when both contracts wind up, and they time those to wind up together, and negotiations were supposed to start on what it looks like moving forward sometime soon, or probably would have by now if the COVID situation hadn't have come along. So, I'm sure things will start ramping up very soon on what it looks like moving forward.
Jared,
Sorry,
Chief. Jared, this is fascinating how quickly things change. I mean, it wasn't long ago that Peter Gutman was saying...
Gutsy
was saying, well, hang on, no, bring hubs down here. Yeah. You know, we want as much footy down here as possible. Don't worry if teams can't go. Now, it wanted to do that because they'd get some coin out of it.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Now, as soon as it looks like that North and Hawthorn want to fulfil their contract, which would see money come from Gutsy to the clubs, it's... No. Well, we don't want to do that.
Yeah, but the spirit of this was it's got to be good for both parties.
Yeah, but it's
and
still...
And if no one's filling a hotel room up...
I understand it might not be worth the full whack, but it's still good for Tasmania. I don't know what you're...
You've said this three times. Explain to me how it's good for Tasmania.
I think having a constant reminder that AFL teams are playing down in Tasmania, and if they have to offset the fact that crowds aren't there with sending big teams like Collingwood and Essendon down there, is a good thing. Understand that financially it might not be the best thing right now, but given their commitment to football and given Chief, the state's commitment to wanting its own team, I think saying no to footy down there is a bad thing.
Yeah, look, it is a double-edged sword, I guess, isn't it? We've got to try and find the right balance. And I think you're right, Joe, when you say that you do need to sort of make both parties happy and try and make it work. Because we do want our team, we definitely do, so you don't want to run the risk of not having any content here at all. And obviously soccer's big here at a junior level, so you need to have some sort of presence with the AFL. I'm sure they realise that, so... It really is a fascinating watch, boys, and I can't wait to see what the end result's going to be.
I'm not sure if you were listening to the first hour of the program, Chief, but Scoop McClure broke a very, very big scoop on Tasmania and one of your boom recruits. Did you pick up on it?
I haven't heard it, no. I was busily working at that point. Boys, what do you got for me?
Well, according to Scoop, Peter Siddle is on his way down to Tasmania. He's turned his back on a huge offer from Victoria because a more huge offer, or to use a COVID-19 word, a huger offer, has landed on his doorstep, and he'll be going down there for a couple of years to play
the Tigers
for the Tasmanian Devils.
Yeah, so this has been in the works for a while, so it's pretty exciting, isn't it? It's an interesting one in the sense that we have got a lot of pacemen down here, albeit younger pacemen, but it's not great news for them, I wouldn't have thought, because we had a bit of a selection struggle as it was. But I like it because Sids has obviously been around the system for a long time. George Bailey won't be there this year. Mm-hmm. Matty Wade and Tim Payne will be away, hopefully on test duties. So we do lack a bit of that experience, I suppose. He'll be wonderful in that regard. And I'm hoping there's some sort of Hurricanes element attached to the deal as well. I'm not sure where that sits.
Well,
yeah, you think so.
I'm not sure if that's part and parcel of it, Scoop, is it?
Well, it hasn't been told to me that it is. But now that the Chief has alerted me to it, it does make sense. But certainly not part of the initial story, Jared. You always leave a little bit more.
Well, I was actually surprised when you told me that the deal for Shield Cricket is a tick under $200,000.
That's what I'm told.
That is big coin. That's massive coin. I mean, that means, let's say Sids is on 200 in Shield. He's probably on the same again in the Big Bash.
Yep.
Goes over to England, picks up, what, 100 and 200?
Yeah. So we're calling it north of half a mil.
It's not bad money when you're not playing Shield, when you're not playing international.
Not bad money. That's great money. That's,
you must have a lot of cash down there, you Tassie Devils.
Yeah, well, when you're not paying for football, you do.
That's true. I'm not sure about that with cricket. Obviously, this had a broom through the place, unfortunately, and a few positions, or a lot of positions were made redundant. So it is good from that respect that we can get a big name like that down here still. Darcy Short, unfortunately, looks like he isn't coming. So he looks like he's staying in WA. It would have been nice to get him over the line as well.
He's pulled up.
Jared, have we heard from the Chief?
Pulled up short.
No, I liked it. Yeah, okay. In his role as soon-to-be owner of the new NBL team down there?
I haven't actually, no. What sort of percentage has he got?
I'm told it's as juicy as Peter Siddall's deal to go down to Tassie. What is happening with the new team?
Well, it's an interesting situation. So it's a bit of back and forth at the moment between the state government and the NBL. Basically, what the state government is saying is the $40 million that's been set aside for the Doohan Entertainment Centre upgrade is still there. Despite what's gone on with the coronavirus, etc., that's money still there, ready to go to upgrade the Doohan Entertainment Centre. What Peter Gutwin wants now is some answers from Larry Kesselman and the NBL if Tasmania will be in the competition in time for the start of the 2021-22 season, because he thinks if we're spending $40 million of taxpayers' money to upgrade the deck, we should have some guarantee that we're going to be in the competition in time for that 21-22 season.
Chief, I look forward to you adding NBL owner to your already illustrious title. Appreciate it. We'll chat next week.
Thanks, boys. Good to talk to you.
And I know you're doing a lot of work on the North East South, but tell you what, you only get so much. You can only hide for so long from both parties. Get your ass off the fence. We want the team next week.
All right, boys.
Brent Costello there. I tell you what, if we can't get the North East South in Tassie team between Richo and the Chief, no one's ever going to be able to
and
get
and your good
it.
Self, given that you're a local.
Was a local.
Yeah. That's okay.
Once upon a time. Time for a break. Peter Johnson and tennis is next. Welcome back to Sports Day. It's all for Wilson Homes. Chat with one of their friendly staff today about personalising a home design to suit your individual lifestyle. It's amazing, Jared, with no actual tennis going on, that we've still been able to talk a lot about tennis for the last 6 weeks.
Well, there's plenty of stuff happening, and one of the people who we always go to, in fact, we only go to him, is Peter Johnson to keep us up to date. Welcome to you, Jono.
Hi, Sam. Hi, Jared. Good to talk.
I'm just reading, Jono, that Eddie's made another headline in the Herald Sun. Eddie Maguire in another stoush with fellow media personalities. Mm. You must have been pleased with the performance of young Sam McClure last night.
Look, he's been all over. He's been trending. Every time I turn on social media, he's the top little one that gets he's top of the charts all the time. But well done, Sam. Good job. Very proud of you.
It says here in the Herald Sun, the debate exploded again on Footy Classified on Wednesday night when Maguire found himself in the middle of a heated debate with Sam McClure and Caroline Wilson over the Stephen stabbing and the media's handling of it. Maguire said the media is there to uncover the truth and ask the hard questions. But the response from Sam McClure was, son, there's the car, get in it and don't come back. If he hadn't asked Stephen to divulge information surrounding the incident when he arrived at Geelong training this week.
Mm. That's what Eddie said to me. You
know, yeah.
He called me son.
Gave you the son.
It's almost like being called champ, isn't it? Or
no, it's probably even more demeaning than that.
More?
Yeah, no, it's gone another level.
It's gone past champ.
Unbelievable. Anyway, let's get stuck into the tennis. Jono, how quickly is it going to open up and what's the next major that we're going to be playing?
Well, look, at the moment, if we were playing, we'd be in the middle of the French Open. So it's, you know, obviously that's been rescheduled for early October, or at the end of September, early October, and they're very optimistic, Jared, of playing. They're talking about being prepared to play without without spectators. It's a massive income stream for the French Federation, which pretty much, you know, feeds the whole French tennis system, one of the great countries for tennis, with the whole club system that they have going there. So they're, and they have the new cover on the Philippe Chatrier Centre Court, so I think they're just so keen to get it done. And so you've got that, which I feel like started to come into more being likely than unlikely. And then, but the next decision, the key decision, I think, coming up over the next 2 weeks will be the US Open, which is scheduled for last week of August and first week of September. And that's gone for me from being highly unlikely to a little more likely. And the reason I say it is the US are looking like they're going to create some exemptions for professional sports people to come to play events in the US across all sports, and tennis was one of the ones included. And you know, I think they're desperate to just get professional sport back, whatever it takes.
Well, when you say an exemption, right now you can't travel to the United States. Does the exemption include not having to quarantine for 2 weeks?
Yeah, that's really the clarification, Jared. As you say, it's really that you can come in and providing you've had your testing approved. I'm not sure what mechanism they'll put in place, but yeah, you wouldn't have to quarantine. Having said that, I know they're looking at a lot of different scenarios, like with Flushing Meadow being played in Queens rather than down in the city. They're looking at hotels, you know, creating a bubble around that whole precinct and reducing probably the number of people that come, because, you know, there's not that many hotels out there that could accommodate it all. So, you know, entourages may be limited to one extra person. They're talking about reducing qualies, which qualifying is 128 men, 128 women. So these are all the sort of scenarios. So if it happens, it's going to be vastly different, but they're looking to find a way to make it happen.
What a place to go to for a sporting event, New York right now.
Well, you couldn't.
Well, and it's incredible how quickly it's happened, isn't it? Like, you know, they were playing games of basketball in Madison Square Garden in early March, full houses, and it came along so quickly and so dramatically. And they've used, actually, the Flushing Meadow, the Billie Jean King Stadium as a
hospital.
You know, a hospital, you know. So there's a massive amount of change would have to happen in a short period of time. But look, the other scenario they've been floating, which I've heard now doesn't have much legs, is to play it out in Indian Wells a little later in the year, because the climate would be good and the facility could certainly cope. But it seems like all roads are leading to trying to get it done in New York.
But if you're an athlete, if you're a seriously top-end tennis player, why are you going to risk yourself? And I know that, you know, ultimately for 99% of people who get infected at the age that these professional tennis players are, there's only going to be flu-like symptoms, but there is the odd chance that you might be the one exception. Why would you play a Mickey Mouse tournament with no crowd, etc., in a hot spot like New York?
Well, look, I guess there is the aspect of absolutely, you know, making sure you stay healthy. That's the number one thing for any person. But, boy, the appetite for players by then is just so extreme. Like, you see what's happening. The press that tennis has been getting the last couple of weeks has been all about the creation of all local exhibitions in countries. And, you know, look, there's one now announced in Serbia, a group of events. They've got a strong lot of players in Serbia, looking at one in Israel. The Spanish are looking like in about 3 weeks' time, playing at four different clubs. Nadal, most of the guys in the top 100 would be playing. So that's what's happening. And it just shows the desperation, because they're playing for, you know, very little money. And they're just desperate to get on the court. So when you throw in a open with a, you know, still a $70 million US dollar prize purse, and a desperation to play and points to play for, you know, of course you want to be healthy, but you're going to give it a lot of consideration.
Jono, it's been put to me that the Australian Open at this stage is planning to go ahead without international crowds. That the players would come in, you'd have to quarantine all the players, you could still have crowds, but they'd have to socially distant, and that could only be Australian.
One each side of the net.
Now, that is going to cost the tournament a lot of money, obviously.
No, they've got pandemic insurance.
Well, this is the thing. The pandemic insurance that the Australian Open has runs out in July. Now, Jared, if
that's not good timing.
If you've got earthquake insurance and then suddenly a spate of earthquakes happen, your premium's going to go through the roof. So I just wonder, Jono, if they're going to be able to renew this.
Well, look, I don't know enough about the policy, but it would seem on the surface that it's going to be a tough one to renew, as you said, in the midst of a pandemic. I think generally with the Australian Open itself, though, Sam, sure, you have to just do the numbers and go, okay, well, what do we normally make out of the game? Do we make $120 million? I don't know. I'm not sure of the number. The concession stands, the merchandise you sell on site, all that. So there's you're down that much. But on the other hand, if your international TV rights and your domestic rights are $350 million, well, you know, we're still up a mil or $100 million. You know, so I think they're the sorts of discussions you have. I think Australia can limit itself for being potentially because players tend to come down here for a month anyway. So, and it's the beginning of the tennis season, so there's sort of a period to adjust anyway. So perhaps some sort of whatever rules are in place as far as quarantining can be potentially accommodated by then. So I feel like they're on the right track in terms of talking about being able to play with domestic crowds and players still coming. I'll be staggered if Australian Open doesn't go ahead, I have to say. Well, I think they'll find a scenario.
The biggest winner, of course, in this layoff, the COVID-19 layoff period, has without doubt been Naomi Osaka, who has at this stage surpassed Serena Williams in the money stakes, and that is saying something. The young girl from Japan, Jono, is making $57.2 million Australian in the past 12 months, knocking off the great Serena Williams, who made 45.5.
Yeah, well, a lot of that is tied up in a way she's timed it around beautifully, having won few slams in a country which hasn't had a player of her caliber. Remember, she's half Haitian and half Japanese.
Yeah, I think the Olympics, she's got herself involved in a lot of the Olympic promotion, which has certainly helped.
Exactly. It's that perfect storm. She's won a couple of majors, so she's the hottest property on the tour. And then you've got the Olympics, and the sponsors desperate to leverage off that. I think she's got these massive endorsements with Nissan. There's a noodle.
The noodle bar.
There's I love the noodle bar. but it'll be a big one. And obviously the Nike deal kicks in. And, you know, so it's just, huge endorsements off the court. And she's been making the money on the court as well.
Jono, always appreciate it. We'll chat soon.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Joe.
Peter Johnson there, our tennis expert. That's $1 million a week, Osaka's money.
Not bad money. Get a lot of noodles for that.
Seven figures a week.
Big money.
It's too much money, Jared. That's too much money.
It's only 22. It's amazing, isn't
that's
it?
Honestly, what would you do with it?
Well, I suspect she's not doing much with it.
You'd
I
have
suspect
to give a third of it away.
Somebody is investing it for her, so hopefully by the time she gets to the end of her career.
It doesn't matter if you don't invest $50 million, you could live the rest of your life off that.
Probably, but she's got to run a new jet, a new ocean liner, right. A new this, a new that. It's going to be big money.
I'm sure she'll give a lot to charity.
Let's finalise the program with a spray for Spitwater.
Okay. Where do you want to go?
Well, I'm going to give you the last right of reply after you and Eddie went head-to-head last night.
I'm not spraying any.
You're not going to go again.
Why would I?
Well, I'm just asking the question. I'm giving you an opportunity. Well, I'll give one that way then.
The Chief said it was a knockout blow.
The Chief did say that. My spray, thanks to Spitwater, is to Peter Johnson, our tennis expert. For God's sake, Jono, get a proper phone.
That's for Ronald and remember, Ronald McDonald House is badly in need of financial support. It is, we're talking about giving to charity. This pandemic has massively affected so many people and the charity has felt the effects. This has been Sports Day. It's all for Wilson Homes. Jared and I will be back same time, 6 o'clock tomorrow.